I'm with Tommy Connor this morning, and he is over in Indiana. He has been married to his wife, Alicia, with three children. There's Zoe, Samuel, and Jude. And it's been a real blessing to get to know Tommy through phone calls. And it's actually been just the last few months that he's been able to go through an experience that has changed his life. And I want to actually refer to something in the writings of Sister White when it talks about in the early writings. You'll see on page 67, the second paragraph, it says, "Now time is almost finished, and what we have been years learning, they," those that come in at the end, "will have to learn in a few months. They will also have much to unlearn and much to learn again. Those who would not receive the mark of the beast in his image, when the decree goes forth, must have decision now to say, nay, we will not regard the institution of the beast." And so I'm actually with Tommy right now, and he, along with myself, have been on the phone, like I said. And Tommy, give us just a little bit about your background, who you are, where you're from, tell us about your family, and then I'm going to ask some questions about the last few months of your experience.
Okay, my name's Tommy Connor. I'm originally from southern Indiana and then grew up in southern Illinois. Athlete growing up in school, did well in school, and went to play college baseball, and got diagnosed with a disease while I was there and had to drop out, have some surgeries and everything, and quit playing sports, just kind of healed from my illness, and then went into the workforce. And then after I got my life back on track and after having a bunch of surgeries, you know, I struggled with, you know, addiction and pain pills and everything like that, and depression, just from, you know, being kind of on top of the world to kind of losing everything, it felt. Well, I got my life back together and was just trying to slowly start a family and everything, and got to that point, and I didn't really pay too much attention to politics or what I was, or religion or anything like that. I just kind of thought, you know, I knew the basics and that was good enough. Well, everything going on in the world now, just it was kind of an eye-opener, you know, when you start to see what, you know, what kind of true evil is out there, you start to look for answers.
Yeah.
And having, you know, kids to think about, you know, I really wanted to find out what we were up against. So when you start hearing things about, like, the pedophilia going on and the sex trafficking and stuff like that, it was all very scary. And there was many nights I would drive my truck. I'm a truck driver. I drive, you know, nights and do night runs and stuff. And just, I mean, I'm sure my dash cam, you know, catches me crying here and there. Just after hearing all the things going on and just the stuff happening to little kids, it just made me think, like, what would I do if that happened to me? So I started getting really deep into conspiracy and started looking into all this stuff and started seeing what a lot of these people are saying that they've been saying for years, and that was everybody kind of called them conspiracy theorists and called them crazy. Well, come to find out, a lot of that stuff is you know, coming to light, and it was very scary to me. And after I dug so deep into the worldly things, I was looking for comfort. So then I was like, well, I'm just, you know, better place looked in the Bible. So I started searching the Bible and looking up sermons online. And then I started listening to some preachers that were talking about Bible prophecy and a lot of the stuff that you're not really taught in, you know, a lot of, like, Baptist churches or Christian churches. And I'm not trying to pick on any, you know, denomination or anything, but I will say that when it came to Bible prophecy and a lot of the, like, Bible truths and stuff, the Seventh-day Adventists did have most of that. And then when you start to learn, like, the Sabbath truth, and then you start to learn, like, what all this stuff really means in the Bible, it starts to make more sense and add up more. And it's just, I mean, I went through a phase about 2 weeks where I was just, I mean, I was having nightmares and dreams and just very, very scared. I mean, I was crying a lot to my wife, and while they're all at school and work during the day, I'm here by myself, and I prayed harder than I've ever prayed in my life, and I was like, you know, God, I don't care what your truth is. I just want to know it. I just want to, you know the truth so I can do what's best for my family and make the right decisions and lead them, you know, towards you. And I don't care what your truth is. I don't care if it's what I believe or what I was taught. I just want to know it. So, and then I started really watching a lot of Seventh-day Adventist preachers and learning about Bible prophecy. But then I seen where everything pointed at the Sunday being the mark, and that was going to be the issue in the last days is the day. Well, then I noticed that one of my dad's friends, whenever he was younger, he and I got in touch at my dad's funeral, and I noticed he was posting a lot of stuff on Facebook that was, you know, biblical. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, do you, you know, honor the Sabbath? And he's like, well, that's a good question. And then he kind of filled me on everything he knew, and he blew me away because he knew a lot of this stuff that you don't hear anybody preaching. And he was like, well, what do you believe as far as God? And I was like, well, I believe in God and I believe in his son. He goes, okay, but what do you believe? Do you believe in the Trinity? And I was like, well, I guess so. I don't know. I mean, I believe there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was like, yeah, but who is the Holy Spirit? I was like, what's the Spirit of God? He was like, well, be more specific. So then he explained to me, well, if you look up, you know, the real definition of the Trinity, there's three main problems with it, that the Holy Spirit's not the Spirit of the Father and the Son, that they are all co-eternal, so they all existed at the same time, and then also it says that the Father and the Son are not a true Father and Son, that they're a metaphor. So whenever he pointed that out to me, and then I was like, wow, and I was like, so it's kind of like in the old days, in Jesus' time, you had the Pharisees that had their right day, but the wrong God.
Yeah.
And then you had the pagans, which a lot, every time I ask, I'm like, so who are the Romans in Jesus' time? Oh, they were the Roman Catholics. So I was like, were they Catholic, though? Like, do you know, like, the history of Catholicism? And were they Roman Catholics or Roman pagans? And then they're like, oh, I never thought about that. So then it kind of makes more sense now. And then when you start reading the Bible now, you start to see that every story, although it really did happen, but it all happened a certain way to teach us something, I believe, about our Heavenly Father and His Son. You know, when you get to Adam and Eve, you know, Adam existed first, and then Eve came out of Adam. You know, the Father existed first, and the Son came out of the Father. You know, I think, and when you start to, and then Joseph and the Pharaoh, you know, the Pharaoh's the source of all power, and Joseph, you know, sees everything through. You know, Abraham and Isaac, I mean, just all the, Moses and Aaron, I mean, all these things, they are showing us who they are, but then you have everyone saying, well, you know, God's a mystery, we'll have to find out when we meet him. And it's very scary to me that, because the only place the Bible calls Babylon, mystery Babylon, is in Revelation. So why is everyone calling God a mystery? And why do we have to know him for everlasting life, but he's a mystery? So it makes no sense to me. So I started seeing how everything that is political is also religious. Because when you have all these things that are hidden in plain sight politically with, like, these pedophile signs, I mean, there are pizza parlors that have, like, a triangle within a triangle that's a pedophilia sign, but it's also, you go on any building or some churches and you see pagan signs with that too. Like, it's all hand in hand. And eventually, in the end times, there's going to be a mingling of church and state. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be politics mingled with religion, and then it's going to get really ugly. So, and I really started digging deep into that stuff, and it all started to make more sense to me. And because you see all the evil going on in the world, all the riots, all this, all that, and you start to ask, like, why is this going on? Well, then you start to realize, well, it's just the rise of evil. You know, towards the end of time, if there's going to be an outpour of the Holy Spirit, then there's probably going to be an outpour of the evil spirit too.
Yeah.
And if you look back at ancient Babylon, you know, they built the Tower of Babel to escape another destruction by water because they didn't have faith or believe in God. Well, now we have the Pope trying to introduce an energy saving day of climate change to prevent a destruction by fire. Well, the Bible tells us how the world's going to end, so there's nothing we could do for it. We can't build another tower to escape it, and even if we did, God would knock it down. So the thing about history is when you forget it, it repeats itself, and everyone has forgotten this, and no one's looking at relearning it, and it's about to repeat itself.
Yeah, that's right. And so I'm wondering, like, when you're talking about all these things that you've learned, whether it be the pedophilia movement and the fright that you had for your children, whether it be the truth about the Sabbath, the end time events, some of the things that are being talked about in the Bible, while you're talking about the ideas of going into the truth about God, that he has a son, that he was that son was begotten, etc. All these things you're talking about to us, and it sounds like it's taken you years and years to be able to understand these things, but just like a week ago on the phone, you and I were talking, and you said that all of this happened within the last 3 months. Is that true?
Yeah, whenever I was really digging deep into the pedophilia stuff, that was probably 5 months ago, and up until about 8 weeks ago, I started actually searching the Bible, you know, because when you start searching the world for answers, you end up being more confused, you end up being more scared and everything. So then I was like, well, I'm going to have to search the Bible for answers. So it's been about the past 2 months that I went through the Bible a few times and listened to sermons, you know, read a lot of Sister White's writing. And then it was all starting to be more clear. And now, I mean, when you read a passage and it says, you know, that talks about a woman. I mean, that, you know, yeah, it's probably talking about a literal woman, but when you learn that also a woman is symbolic for a church or even sometimes Christ, you know, you can see the literal side of it. Then you can also see the symbolic side of it. Mm-hmm. And I think whenever people start to realize that, when Jesus taught, he taught in parables. And I don't think that just started in the New Testament. I think that the whole Old Testament are parables, but we don't look at them like that.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it as in God, he allowed things to happen, and then he made things happen, and it all happened a certain way. So it shows you that these stories add up perfectly, which means he's been in control this whole time. And when you look at David and Goliath, you have little bitty David beating big old Goliath. Well, then God's remnant is going to be a small group of people that are going to defeat a huge group of people.
Yeah.
And then whenever David defeated him with a rock, you know, Jesus said, you know, who do you say I am? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, on this rock I was building my church. So do I think it's a coincidence that David killed Goliath with a rock and Jesus said that on this rock I will build my church? No, I don't think that it all adds up. I don't think it's just a coincidence. I think that these are hidden clues that God has given us to piece together. And it's up to us to want to know the truth, and seek and you shall find.
Amen. So I have a question for you. You have, in the last, like, 8 weeks, started studying the Bible, and it sounds like you have been able to have your eyes opened and be able to see a lot of wonderful and beautiful things. You're relating to the Old Testament, the New Testament, you're referring to the Sister White's writings, you're talking about prophecy. All of this in 8 weeks is a big deal. Now, here's my question. Your wife, Alicia, has probably been in the same house with you at least some of the time in the last 8 weeks. What has that been like for her? Now, we understand that men can't speak for their wives, and wives can't speak for their husbands, but just give what your perspective has been from your observations of what she has gone through in the last 8 weeks.
And you know, the past few days, I was wondering if you were going to ask this question, and I didn't really decide how I was going to answer it. But I guess whenever I was learning about, like, last day events and stuff like that, and it kind of scared me, I don't think I relayed the information to her in the best way. So I've kind of learned that whenever it comes to stuff like stories in the Bible, you know, great. You know, she kind of takes that in. She's, oh, that's interesting. But if I talk to her about, you know, end time and the scary times and all that, it's not something that she takes well. So I've kind of learned, you know, but like I'll tell her, like, well, I know this scares you, but this is important to know. You know, this is something else I learned, and you know, I just want to know that, you know, at least if something happens to me and this happens, you know, hey, I remember Tommy talking about this, and I just will feel better if you at least just hear me out. And whenever we first heard about, like, the pedophile stuff and all that going on, and I was digging deep into conspiracies, I was sharing something new with her just about every day. And last night, actually, I was talking to her about some Bible stuff, and I was like, so where are you at with everything? She was like, I don't know. It's just been so much in such a short amount of time. She's like, I don't know what to take in. I don't know. I was like, well, just give me, you know, one every Saturday, you and I have 30 minutes to an hour. I'll go over some stuff with you. I said, because we're not hearing the truth in the churches. I said, it's just like the Pharisees in the old days. They're, you know, preaching, you know, lies, or they're not preaching the truth or what you should know. They're passing around the offering plate, and they're sending you home in time for kickoff, you know, on football. And whenever he went in there and he overturned, Jesus went in there and overturned the tables and said that they turned his father's house into den of thieves. Did we think that that's changed any today? No. If anything, it's gotten worse. It's just been hidden, you know, a lot better. And it's just they preach a feel-good message, make you feel a little convicted, make it, you know, think, oh, I mean, I've actually heard sermons where preachers have said, if you get to the church, you're storing your treasures in heaven. And he even said, some of y'all are going to have really nice bathrooms in heaven, and some of y'all are just going to have just a simple place to go. And I'm like, I mean, it's just ridiculous stuff, you know? And but I don't think everyone's ready to hear. I mean, because even whenever I heard it, and I can usually, you know, take stuff well, but even when I heard it, you know, a lot of things brought me to tears, made me scared for my family and worried about my kids and everything. But I would rather know the truth and plenty of time to be prepared for it than for it to hit me at the last minute and then just be lost and then just be like, you know, someone with not enough oil in my lamp. Yeah. And, you know, I'm knocking on the door saying, Lord, let me in. And he's like, I don't know you, so I would rather know it now and get over it and then just be ready for it.
Amen. Amen. So I wonder, with so much that you've learned over the last 8 weeks, and not only from the last several months back, learning about some of the trials that young people go through in the sex trafficking and all that stuff, and not only just children, but women and even men, young boys, etc. We know that it's evil, evil, evil. But since studying the Bible in the last 8 weeks, what are some of the biggest themes that you have thought of? Like, wow, this is huge. I've never thought of anything like this in my life. Give us, I mean, try to just react to that statement or that question.
Like as far as like the like sacrificing kids and torturing them and drinking their blood and stuff like that, I learned when I was going through and reading about Solomon, how he actually married women that sacrificed children to Moloch. And then I started digging deep into, you know, some conspiracies and stuff. And then you find out that a former U.S. senator, a former first lady, she actually worships Moloch. And and then you start to dig into some of the leaked emails between politicians, and then you find out that tax dollars are going towards pervert parties, you know, and when it comes, like, ties into the Bible, the main thing that I see is Solomon, really, whenever he married a heathen woman and they worship pagan gods, they sacrificed children. And I mean, I believe he repented and turned away from that, but I don't know if he fell back again. But I don't know when it comes to that. Solomon's the only real story that I know in the Bible about the child sacrificing and stuff like that, other than like whenever Herod had the 2-year-old and younger killed around the time Jesus was born and everything like that. I don't know if that answers your question, you know, fully or not, but I mean, that's just all that comes to mind.
Okay. I guess what I was asking as well, because what you did there is really good. I hadn't thought of those things with Solomon and the women, etc. That's really good insight. But beyond the child sacrifice, in the Bible itself, what are some of the biggest themes that you've thought of since studying the Bible in the last 8 weeks? I know it sounds like you've been a Christian before that, but what are some of the things that you've seen in the Word of God that have just really opened your mind? Wow.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, I would say once saved, always saved, you know, that, the state of the dead.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Once saved, always saved. Did you think, as it sounded like you were a Baptist, did you think that once you were saved, you were always saved? Is that what you're saying?
I was brought up, you know, believing that for a while. And then even in the Baptist denomination, there were people that was kind of like some people believed it, some people didn't. And there was a lot of in my family that did. They believed, you know, as long as you believe in Jesus, then you're good to go. And then, I mean, I remember growing up always kind of wondering, like, well, how does this work? So, like, do I just, you know, get in the club just because I know somebody, so I don't need to do anything else? I just need to believe in him, and then I'm good, or what? And then you start to learn that, well, it's not exactly like that, because, like I said in the parable earlier, where some people had oil in their lamps, but they didn't have enough. So they knew him at one point, but they kind of drifted away from him. So then a lot of that stuff was scary, that you're not really being preached the ugly truth. You're being told like a feel-good message, and it's scary, and it breaks your heart, really, because like I know a lot of good people that, you know, I want to know this stuff, and then whenever you go talk to them about it, they think you're just a heretic. And you just look like the crazy guy with the sign, you know, saying the end is near. But the once saved always saved is just the beginning of everything that's just, I'm like, wow, they're not teaching this at all.
Yeah. Now, there was a while ago, not too long ago, I preached a message entitled "Once Saved, Always Saved." Did you happen to look at that message, and was that something that was helpful to you?
I don't think I've seen it, but after we get off, I'll look it up.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of your videos, though.
All right. That's great. Now, so I'll send you the link, and also I'll put a graphic up about the video, what it looks like, so that people can look and see for themselves. But yeah, so once saved, always said, you mentioned the Sabbath was a very big deal because you hadn't been keeping the Sabbath before that. What are some of the other thoughts that you've come away with from the last 8 weeks of Bible study?
I grew up being told, you know, that you pray to the Father in Jesus' name and you ask for them to send the Holy Spirit. Well, you always hear the Holy Spirit. You don't, I mean, it was never made clear who it was. And I feel like after I was really shown who the Holy Spirit is and the truth about that, I feel like my prayers are heard and answered. I feel like I'm not worshiping in ignorance. I feel like I know exactly who I'm talking to. I know exactly where my worship and my prayers are going. And one thing that I've noticed is when you go to ask people, you'll ask them like, and the Bible says test the spirits, and I'm not trying to be confrontational, but one way I test the spirits is I'll ask questions and see if it lines up with the Bible. So I'll say, is the Father and Son a literal Father and Son? They're like, well, I don't know. And then I'll ask them, well, who's the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. And you'll start to ask them, you know, questions. And I don't ask to fight. I want them to think, and I want them to want to know. Well, what he said made me think. You know, I'm going to go look it up. But what I've noticed is that most of the people get very defensive, and they get a little aggravated because once you start asking questions that they can't answer, or you start sharing, because after they say that, I'll say, well, what does this verse mean to you? What does this verse tell you? Then they get mad, and I'm like, well, now they're arguing with the Bible. They're not arguing with me. Yeah. I just asked a question and gave them a verse, and if that makes them mad, you know, that right there should be a sign to them. So, I mean, I'm not trying to start things, but, you know, Jesus said, my gospel will go to every nation, you know, kindred and tongue, and then the end will come. Well, the Trinity is being preached all over the world. Why hasn't Jesus came? Mm. Well, it's not his gospel. That's what I'm trying to get through to people, and I know I look like a crazy person, but, you know, it's my job. If I know the truth, I want people to know it.
Amen. And so just within the last couple of weeks, you have been able to come from worshiping a God you didn't know, worshiping on a day that you didn't think was, I mean, that you found out was not the right day. You learned about once saved, always saved, just from studying the Bible. Your life, your spiritual life has been radically transformed. Your wife is trying to catch up because you've been moving on this direction as fast as you can. But so we're going to be praying for you, Tommy, and for your wife, Alicia, and for your children, asking that God will continue to bless you, continue to lead you, and that you, with many, 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 many thousands and millions of others, will be able to pick up the Bible for themselves and will read and understand and see what it is that the Spirit of God is saying to them through His Word, and that people will be able to learn in months, just like you did in the last few weeks. So you have any closing words for those that have watched this presentation?
Well, like the Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means. So don't take my word for it. Look for yourself and see it in your Bible. You know, and this is your salvation. It's very important. Don't just, you know, go to your preacher who you went to, he's a family friend or whatever it is. This is your salvation. It's very important. Look for yourself and find the truth yourself. Don't put your salvation in someone else's hands.
Amen. That's good stuff. Good news. So any other closing words you thought of or you want to share maybe about your family, your friends, your history? You think, okay, that's it. Well, maybe we'll get a heads up from you a little bit later, and we'll gather some more information and see where the Lord is leading you. But thank you so much, Tommy. God bless you. We're going to be praying for you and your family, and may the Lord keep and guide you in all things.